This is Talk to the Experts, a paid presentation from experts in their field. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of News Talk 770.
I'm Whitney Dean, and we're talking about choice in education on this Talk to the Experts, learning about some of the choice that you have in Alberta. We have three different schools with us here in studios today to talk about how they look at learning, how they work with their students and their parents as well. They're all part of ASCA, or the Association of Independent Schools and Colleges of Alberta. So joining me today, we have Jenny Van Hooft, Principal at Large at Roots Home Education. Hello, Jenny.
Hello.
We also have Diane Switek, Director of Banbury Crossroads. You can find them banburycrossroads.com. Hello, Diane.
Hello.
And then we have Diana Stin. She's the co-founder of Phoenix Education Foundation. You can find them phoenixfoundation.ca. Hello, Diana.
It's great to be back.
Yes. Woo-hoo! Now, Diana, I always put you on the spot for this one because I know that you know this very well. So how does funding work for Alberta schools?
Actually, before we get into that, you said that you put me on always first because I like to talk a lot. Not that I know anything.
But you do know this really well, because it is just that quick breakdown so people understand. Because I think for some parents, they know that a little bit of funding comes from the government, but they don't know how that works.
Right. So people in the province of Alberta pay taxes, and we pay education taxes. And so that education tax goes into a collective pot that we call the public purse. That collective pot, the public purse, is then used to pay for education for students across the province. Now, depending on what kind of a school that you go to, it depends on how much then the purse supplements or pays for that student. Mm-hmm. If you're going to a public charter or a separate system, then the education is fully funded, and that's approximately $13,000 to $15,000 a year per student. If you're going to a private school, then only partial funds are allocated to that student, and it's approximately $5,000 per year. Okay. So there is a significant difference. Plus, the other side of it is that private schools are required to pay for their own capital expenses. That means buildings, playgrounds, desks, computers, all
those
that kind of stuff.
Those cost money.
They do cost money, let me tell you. And the other side of it is that it doesn't cover transportation or teachers' pensions. So there's a large additional amount that isn't covered by the public purse. Mm-hmm. So basically it saves $8,000 to $10,000 per student per year. And the private system has in fact saved the public purse over $750 million over the last 5 years.
I know, Diane, you're with Banbury Crossroads, and your school's been around for 37 years. You really know the ins and outs, I'm sure, of keeping those financials straight. You have people overseeing them, and you have to make sure that your books are in order. You aren't just given the money, and then it's just left there, and that's that. You have to be accountable to your parents, I'm sure, and to the government somewhat.
Well, all private schools have to do an audit every year, and every private school does the exact same audit that each public board does.
Right. The accountability is the same.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then that, I think, puts a lot of people's fears at ease about, well, okay, where does this funding going? Mm-hmm. And that's where it is. And you guys have to be very careful about where that funding goes and what you do with it.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Plus, in addition to doing an annual audit, there are two other pillars or places that private schools are accountable. So first of all, Alberta Education monitors schools, and they were actually just at Phoenix here last week. So that was great. We loved having them on site to be able to share what we do and so that they can have a better understanding of how private schools operate. But every 3 years, every private school in the province is monitored by Alberta Education. The other thing is annually, all private schools are required to do the accountability pillar surveys. And that's the same survey that is sent out to public school students across the province. And it is a standardized measure that all private schools, all public schools, all charters, everybody is gauged. And it tells the government and the public how it is that everybody's doing. Mm-hmm. So we do that. And then there's one more measure.
The other one is that we have to do a three-year plan, and we have to do a results report every year.
Oh, and we have parents. Darn it. If our parents don't like what they're doing, trust me, they walk. They take their money and they walk.
That's
so,
true.
You know, that's probably the biggest accountability piece to the whole thing is parents.
And does that mean that parents get more of a say in how their education is going or what is happening with their child in that school?
I would say generally that's the truth because we depend on them and they depend on us.
Yeah.
So we see them as partners in their children's education. And in that way also, parents and teachers are helping to create a positive culture for the future.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they all
right.
private schools that I know of see this as a very big responsibility.
And I think AISCA has done some cumulative results, and the cumulative result across the province for private schools is that parent participation is at about 90%. So it's very high. I think part of it is when people pay a tuition towards their education, they absolutely feel invested and they want to know that they're getting their money's worth.
Yeah. Parents feel very invested when it comes to home education. And we have Jenny Van Hoeft. She's principal at large, Roots Home Education. You can find them www.roots-homeschooling.com. That's roots-homeschooling.com. Okay, Jenny, so home education, how does your program work? Because home education can mean many different things, I think. So for your program, what does that mean?
Okay, so in Alberta, home education, as defined in the home education regulations, is the parents taking responsibility for their child's education. So they do the teaching, they make the plans, they do the assessments, and as a program, we come in and support them, we help them meet their goals. Mm-hmm. Now, one thing I want to make clear, we are not a school like the other two participants. We're a program of a school.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a program, we still are accountable. Obviously, for funds and to our parents and to the government. But we're not an independent school.
Mm-hmm.
So we're Roots is a home education program of the Morinville Christian School.
Yeah.
And so we just want to make that clear how we function instead of as an independent organization.
So how do parents come to you or why do they choose home education?
They have so many different reasons. The reasons are as varied as the families are. Some come. Let me share my experience.
Yeah.
When I decided to start home educating my children, I thought I wanted to do it because I had a child who wasn't being challenged in the school system, who was spending a lot of time helping other students, and just if she couldn't get it done the quickest and have it all right, she just wasn't going to do it. And I had a student who was struggling in school, and I wanted to give that child extra support. And I had a child who was being bullied, and I wanted to give them an escape route from that bullying. But once I took them home, my reasons for home educating our children changed.
Oh.
I learned I needed to listen to my children. I needed, as a teacher in the classroom, I was very academic focused and skills focused. When I took them home, I was more discipleship focused, more character training, more looking at different styles of learning, more helping them figure out how they learned, more family relationship oriented, more home skills, like regular life skills. Once my husband and I decided to take them home, my daughter made an interesting comment. She said, "Mom, you've changed." My response was, "What do you mean? What are you talking about?" And she said, "Now you're teaching us all the time." And that's true. Once I took them home, I began to realize how much I had turned over to the school system. Once I had what I had turned over, I wanted to reclaim.
Mm-hmm.
So my husband and I made that choice to take our children home. And eventually, as a teacher, it took me a while. I'm a slow learner. But eventually, over time, I learned how broad education was. And it put a whole different perspective on education.
Yeah, and you mentioned discipleship in there, and you are a Christian homeschooling program. So how does that fit into that?
Okay, so Root's goal is to support and encourage Christian home education parents, specifically who decide to raise their child in the way he should go. When you look at Christians in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, God calls them to community, and we wanted to provide the opportunity for Root's families to also participate in community.
Mm-hmm.
So we have things like support groups, and we have field trips, and we have special classes, events, that type of thing. We have Google groups, we have Facebook, so that parents can support one another. we have great staff. By no means do I want to cut down our staff. We have great staff who know a lot and who all have home education experience themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But when you are feeling vulnerable, when you are wondering what's happened, it's nice, instead of to have our designated staff, it's nice to have these, all these moms who you can go to. If you put something out on our Google group that you're looking, like you have a child who's really struggling to spell and you want some suggestions, instead of one or two or three responses from your facilitator, you may get 20 different responses in which you can discern what is best for you, what works well for mm-hmm. you. And so that community aspect gives parents the opportunities to support one another.
And so you also mentioned facilitator as well. I want to go back to that. So what does a facilitator do in the program?
Okay, so a facilitator are Alberta certified teachers.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be. And in Ruth's case, they're all either currently home educating their children or have educated their children or were home educated themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so their job is to walk with the parent through the process. Now, they are, they look at all of the parents' plans for their children. So they'll discuss them with them, see if there's anything that the recommendations they want to make and sign off on them. And then they have two in-home visits during the year.
Mm-hmm.
So during the home visits, they come in. It's sort of like show and tell for the kids, where the kids come. Kids love to talk about what they're doing. And so they come in and show what they're doing and show their books and et cetera. It's also an opportunity for the mom to talk to the facilitator. And the facilitator will write up a report on mm-hmm. what's going on, and the parents will get a copy of that report. And then another copy goes in their student records.
Mm-hmm. But they are allowed a lot of independence in your program as well, the parents, because that's why they're coming to you as well.
You bet. We have parents who home educate for so many different reasons. Like anxiety, bullying are definitely some. The majority of our, well, bottom foundation of our families are our Christian values.
Mm-hmm.
And so they want to come to a program where it's not only okay if you pray with one another or support each other, encourage each other with scripture, but it's encouraged and mm-hmm. recommended that, like, it's foundational to who we are. It's not just sort of like an add-on. Families, if they want to look at our values, they can see our statement of faith, which is posted again on our website, the roots-homeschooling.com. And they may want to check some of those out if mm-hmm. they would like more information on that.
Yeah. And then also with your families as well, a lot of them really focus on what their kids are interested in as well. And I've heard some stories you were telling me off the air, some of them knowing multiple languages, things like that.
We have a family who, it excites me. So their children are in upper elementary and lower junior high, and they're studying French, Spanish, and Chinese. And what the girls love to do is to come up with these multi-language puns, which they think is hilarious. And the moms are just kind of going, wow, she can't keep up with all these kids are learning. They're doing a lot of learning on their own and encouraging one another.
Mm-hmm.
It's really exciting. I heard this story the other day of a mom. One of the things I really enjoy are moms with little boys who just do not sit still.
Yes.
They just don't. It just doesn't happen, and how they handle it, right? And so you have parents who are having their kids do their book work standing at the kitchen counter because they can't keep their bum in a seat long enough to complete their worksheet, who are playing with Lego or other materials while the mom is reading.
Mm-hmm.
One mom spends a lot of her kids' meal times reading to them because then they are active and they're also still listening. One mother sends her child out to jump on the trampoline for 10 minutes. Then they come in and work for 10 minutes. And then she sends them back out again for another vigorous 10 minutes of keeping as busy as she can. And then they come in and they do another 10 minutes.
There's a lot of research supporting that. And that for choosing an independent program, you can, and doing home education, you get to do that.
That's right. Parents know their child more than anybody else. And so they get to devise a program and a way of homeschooling that meets their children's needs as well as the parents' values,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's all rolled together into one package.
Okay, so what do you say to a parent who thinks, you know, it really sounds lovely, but I am worried about the workload? How did you integrate it, even into your own life, or how have other parents integrated it into their life?
You bet. I'm not going to claim that this is like an easy walk in the park. And I will admit, I think every parent has days when they would like to send little Johnny out the front door to either hop on a bus or go to a local school so they can sit down, have a cup of coffee, and relax.
Yeah.
But in reality, home education is a lifestyle. Parents will ask questions like, how long does it take to homeschool? The question is, what do you call homeschool? Do you call your devotions part of homeschool, or is that just home life? Or how about if they participate in a local team, is that part of their PE, or is that extracurricular, free reading? How about if they take piano lessons? Is that music, or is that... It's a whole lifestyle in which education is involved in so many different things. So that accumulating, putting it all together, makes it more manageable. I strongly encourage parents who have multiple children to at least do their sciences and their social studies together as a group, supporting one another. We have families, we have some fairly large families, and that just works really well to do the groupings. Home education materials, if I had known how excellent they were, I would have started homeschooling earlier. I always thought I couldn't do it, which is kind of strange now to hear, and when I hear from other parents, so I realize that fear factor is definitely something that needs to be overcome. But when you see the materials, there's a lot of independent materials. There's a lot of materials that are quite self-directed, which is also another plus for home education students, because they learn how to learn, and they're not always dependent on a teacher or a parent to walk them through. Yeah. So it's a mixture of things. When I said that life skills were part of home education, I meant it. My children eventually all learned to cook. One cooked Tuesday nights, one cooked Wednesday night, one cooked Thursday night. I really missed that when they moved out. And they learned a variety of skills that allowed us to work, serve one another, live together as a group.
Yeah. So as we wrap up, what is the cost, and then how do people get in touch with you?
You bet. Well, first of all, the cost, our particular program has a society membership, because we are society-driven, of $25 a year. After that, we receive a grant from Alberta Education as well. Not nearly as much as for a school student, but we do have a grant, and half of that is actually made available to the parents to reimburse them for materials and lessons that they take for their children. Mm-hmm. So it's not like it's a financial burden as far as tuition. It is a financial burden that some families go from two income families to a single income, so a parent can choose.
So making those choices.
You bet. And there's a phone number to call. It's 403-616-1381. That's 403-616-1381, and our website, www.roots-homeschooling.com.
That's right, and that's Jenny Van Hoeft, Principal at Large, Roots Home Education. Listening to Talk to the Experts on News Talk 770, and coming up, we're going to learn more about the self-directed learning program that's been going on for 37 years here in Calgary with Diane Switek from Banbury Crossroads. We'll have that in just a moment on Talk to the Experts. Getting a look at some of the different schools that are available in Calgary and Alberta. And here we have Diane Switek, and she's the founder and director of Banbury Crossroads. They've been here for 37 years. You can find them banburycrossroads.com. That's banburycrossroads.com. And you are very well known for your self-directed learning program. But a lot of people say they do self-directed, but everyone seems to have a little bit of a different philosophy on how that works or how they work it into their school. So what does self-directed learning look like at Banbury?
Well, I suppose it is a combination of helping the students to organize their own time, to set their own goals, to collaborate with their teachers in designing their assignments, to carry through by doing some independent study and to participate in the evaluation process with their teachers, because the teachers are giving daily constant feedback and all quizzes, for instance, are discussed individually with the students when they finish.
Mm-hmm.
Self-directed learning is a way of treating children as people,
mm-hmm.
so that they are seen as people who have fears and dreams, hopes and wishes. And the teachers are the mentor guides to help those students learn what it is that they both need to learn and want to learn. It's a dual decision-making process because the teachers know what's on the curriculum. The teachers have life experience, so they know what the students need to get by in the world. And the students know their level of motivation. They know their own interests, their levels of tiredness, etc. So all things that happen are a combination of decisions that are made between the students and the teachers.
Mm-hmm.
So at Banbury Crossroads, we've got self-directed learning that begins at age 3 and goes all the way through grade 12. At age 3, it is basically not trampling on children so that they can learn the way that they are almost biologically programmed to learn, mm-hmm. which is that all children in every culture need to master their own environment. And they have a huge impetus to expend energy and courage in learning what is needed.
Mm-hmm.
So the way that children organize themselves is part of how the practical aspect of self-directed learning happens, so that when children are age 3, 4, 5, 6, and they're in our preschool to grade 1 classrooms,
mm-hmm.
they make their decisions moment by moment. The teacher sometimes brings them together for discussions, and because our class sizes are small, and with the youngest children, they're even smaller than the typical 10, they are able to participate fully in those conversations. They aren't usually more than 7 or 8 children. And otherwise, they are working individually or coming together collaboratively to work with the sand, the blocks, the water, the house corner, the puppet theater, the art, learning how to do reading kinds of activities and math kinds of activities.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what happens there. And then when they are in grade 2 to 6, then they make daily schedules for themselves.
Time management.
Yes. And even if they are younger than 7, they have no trouble doing this. It's basically a one word: social, science, math,
mm-hmm.
music, whatever. And at the end of the day, they meet with a teacher and they discuss what they actually did. And at the end of the week, they bring all their papers together for each day and they highlight the different courses in different colors of highlighter. And then they discuss their progress in terms of how many times they actually worked on certain subjects, because Alberta Ed has recommended times they need to do language arts 5 days a week. They will have enough time if they do math 4 times a week,
mm-hmm.
Social and science about 3 times a week. But in essence, they will take as much time as they need to progress to mastery.
Mm-hmm.
In grade 7 to 12, they make a schedule that covers a 1 week period, and that schedule is designed with the help of their mentor teacher, and they can change it if they need to. It would be changed if they discovered that a certain subject doesn't work so well for them at a particular time, or if they finish a course and need to redesign it, or if the subject changes so that they have a subject that goes from September to January and then another one that starts in February to June. So the students, therefore, are feeling very much in charge of their own lives, and they start seeing the teacher as the helper who knows what's on the curriculum and who will help them to achieve the goals they've set.
Mm-hmm.
Even on the secondary side, the students meet with their teacher, their mentor teacher, once a week on Fridays, and they discuss the goals that they had set and whether they achieved them and what goals they want to set for the following week.
There's a lot of skills in that, because then you're learning what you can do, what you can't do. Did I schedule too much? Did I not schedule enough? You know, there's room to fail, which is a good thing in that.
Yes, absolutely. Failure is seen as learning.
Yeah.
You learn from everything you do. If something works, then you learn to keep doing that. And if something doesn't work, then you learn to not do that anymore. And all of these kind of organizational skills help when they finish school, because at age 18, they are fully adults. And they will have to, in post-secondary, decide what they're taking and the schedule themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they just can't do math first thing in the morning, then they won't schedule themselves in that way. If they need large blocks of time to work on their studies, then they will book themselves in for large periods of time. So we found that when our students go to university, they are very well prepared, because the kind of learning that happens at university is very congruent with the kind of learning they've done at Banbury.
Mm-hmm. Okay, there's also a lot of meetings, but in a good way,
yes.
Not in an office kind of way. What are these meetings that you guys have?
Actually, I'm very proud of our meetings, and I often see in students who come to the school from somewhere else a look of fear across their eyes when they are told that I want to talk to them. I think a lot of adults feel that way, too. We need to talk are scary words. But the students in our school have more meetings in the elementary years.
Mm-hmm.
From probably grades 2 to 6 are the prime years when they're learning all their social skills.
Yeah.
They're learning that friendship isn't something that happens just because you're conveniently located next door and you have good toys, but rather that friendships are based on things like loyalty, honesty, kindness, empathy, compassion, things that adults base friendships on.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're watching and learning each other and learning what facial expressions mean, and children are much worse at that than adults are, so we try to help them with that part of it. What happens is that children will notice they're having a problem, and they will come and ask for a meeting. And sometimes the topics are relatively scary for them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they will notice that the other kids in their class don't like them.
Mm-hmm.
And I am often struck by how brave they are to actually sit down and talk about these things. But what they've learned is that if they do display the vulnerability, the openness, the search for solutions, that they will end up with a better situation.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, the students come up with collaborative ideas that change their perception of each other, that help them to actually understand how other people feel, and they can see the connections between their feelings and other people's feelings. So that's one of the most beautiful things I see about Banbury, is the kinds of meetings that the children have. And I think sometimes the parents are impressed as well.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one parent who came to talk to the school when we had the Optimist Club meeting, because they support the school and have for years. And this parent said that in her business, where she held a managerial position, she often tried to get her employees to identify the problems that they had, to try to come up with possible solutions, to arrange a meeting,
mm-hmm.
and to carry through. And she said she had a heck of a time with the adults that she had as employees, but that she saw her children did it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really, really proud of that.
Yeah. So why is it that those students feel that they can be so vulnerable and be able to have those real discussions in a school setting?
I think it's because it's a small school.
Mm-hmm.
There are small numbers throughout, and there are small class sizes of about 10 students.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole basis of the school, the foundational principle, is mutual respect,
mm-hmm.
which is the basis of a democracy, which is the basis of every good relationship, whether it's parent-child, husband-wife, grocer-client,
mm-hmm.
you know. And the mutual respect means that they can trust
mm-hmm.
that other people will listen, will treat them in a civil and kind fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And The reason we want it that way is so that they aren't afraid and they can focus their efforts on the learning that is supposed to be happening. Mm-hmm. And as Jenny was saying here, a lot of the values that the parents are trying to achieve in their home, we are trying to achieve in the school.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of congruence between what the parents are doing at home and what we're doing at school.
So there are other self-directed learning programs. One of them in the public system starts at grade 10. But why mm-hmm. would you want to start your child earlier than grade 10?
Well, first of all, because then by the time they reach grade 10, they are totally used to that kind of learning style.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is that it's natural at age 3 that students would want to be learning things they're interested in, that if they have questions, they want them answered.
Mm-hmm.
And in small settings, every time they have a question, it gets answered.
Yeah.
I realized that in the early years of having the school, and that this is the attitude, this was the expectation that the students had. And at first, it surprised me because I thought of the large school system where if you have 30 kids, well, of course, at that play, when the actors come out on the stage, they aren't going to ask you probably what your question is. But when the student expressed it to me, like, they didn't ask me, I realized that's what it meant, was that every time she had a question, her parents or I would answer it.
Mm-hmm.
And that put shivers through my body. I'm just thrilled that that's what it is, because that shows a child that they are important.
Mm-hmm.
And also in our school, because we have small class sizes, the teachers can give them the individual mentorship that teaches them that so is everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the combination of liberty and responsibility that makes Banbury work.
Yeah. So how can people get in touch with you? How do they see the school?
They can phone 403-270-7787. Or they can look up our website, as you said, www.banburycrossroads.com. Or they can email us at general@banburycrossroads.com.
I think that's what it is. I don't usually
but I'm sure all of
email
it is,
that.
Yeah, but I'm sure all of it is banburycrossroads.com.
That's right.
Oh, thanks very much, Diane. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Diane Swiatek, founder and director of Banbury Crossroads. So coming up, we're going to learn more about the Phoenix Education Foundation and what they call their Blend Ed program, capital ED, Blend Ed program. We'll have that coming up. PhoenixFoundation.ca is their website. We'll have that in just a moment. You're listening to Talk to the Experts on News Talk 770. Shining a spotlight on some of the different programs that are available in Calgary and Alberta when it comes to independent schools and colleges. There is the Association of Independent Schools and Colleges of Alberta, and one of the members is the Phoenix Education Foundation. You can find their website, phoenixfoundation.ca. That's phoenixfoundation.ca. Diana Stinn has been here before, and we love having her in. She has a lot to say about her program. She's very passionate about your program, especially this Blend Ed. So what is Blend Ed?
Well, what's really interesting is Alberta Education is in the process of trying to change the terminology, because Alberta has had a blended program for years. And what it's meant is part home ed, like what Jeannie does, mm-hmm. and part at school. And so that's what it means in the Alberta context. And I had to laugh because last year, I think, Strathcona Tweedsmere invited the world expert to come down and give a talk. And I'm sitting in the audience and this guy's talking away about blend ed education, because in the rest of the world, it means something totally different. It means a classroom where technology is involved and blended into the education. And I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, oh my God, this guy knows nothing about blended education. And what it turned out was actually Alberta is the only place in the entire North America that uses the term differently.
Oh.
So actually he did know something.
Okay, so then what's Alberta's form of Blend Ed? What do you guys do?
So our form of Blend Ed education means that it's a combination of at home, online, at school, and in the community.
Mm-hmm.
So it provides ample different kinds of learning opportunities and learning pathways for the student. So our program does follow the Alberta Program of Studies, and students learn language arts, math, science, social, wellness, and phys ed. And they do that, again, either online. We use Schoology as our mobile learning platform. And so that's handy because you can do it from your phone or your iPad or from your computer. Or if you're like most of these guys, maybe from the back seat of the car. Anyways, so it's great to have a mobile platform. So that's a piece of it and the backbone. And then students are invited to come to school and participate in on-site programming. So we have all kinds of fantastic thematic classes. We have what we call a creation studio because we create ginormous scenes there. And kids come to the scene to learn inside of it. So right now, it's Star Stories.
Awesome.
And we have a spaceship, we have Mars, we have planets, we have, it's fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
So the kids can do part online, part at school, and then coupled with that, we try to go out into the community. So, for example, they're going to be going to the TELUS Science Center to check out Star Trek, Live Long and Prosper. and so they'll be doing that as a field trip, the planetarium, other kinds of things that then complement what they're learning.
Okay, so then what does, how much can parents participate in that program? How much do they have to do? Like, how does that work?
Right. So we have a school location, 15,000 square feet. Mm-hmm. And our mission statement is to provide unique learning opportunities for the family so that each young person can develop into a lifelong learner and an active global citizen. Mm-hmm. So when you come to Phoenix, you're going to see families. You see babies all the way through to grandparents. So it is an open learning environment. And we've even had grandparents actually sign up to take courses. You laugh,
that's awesome.
But I got to tell you, it changes the whole learning experience.
Let me guess, the technology part.
No,
oh,
actually
really?
Not. No, but we've had grandparents sit down with grandkids and sign up for a class and take a class. And what's interesting is the kids look over and they look at this gray-haired person and they think, wow, they're just starting? They don't know this? Because they think old people know everything. Oh, wait, maybe they don't. Oh, that's their parents don't know anything. Right, grandparents do. Anyways, and so what it does, though, is that grandparents are able to say to students, no, we all start at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So when things are new, we all start from the beginning. And I'm learning in just the same way that you are learning. So lifelong learning then really takes on a unique perspective.
Mm-hmm. You also do a kindergarten program where there's a lot of learning for the kids and for the parents as well.
Right. So we run one of the only kindergarten programs in the entire province for families who intend to home educate in the future. So either home education or some form of home-based learning, because there's lots of different forms of home-based learning. And so what happens is in our kindergarten program, our kindergarten teacher models behavior. How do you teach these things? So if you plan to go and attend Jeannie's program and you're going to be doing a home education program through Roots, you might come and attend our kindergarten program because our kindergarten teacher is going to model how you actually teach your child. If for some reason you decided that that wasn't the form of education you wanted and you were going to go to Banbury Crossroads, then your student would already have a solid foundation in how to learn. But of course, we're actually hoping that you carry on with the Phoenix Foundation because we go K to 12.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So then what does we did kindergarten, but what does a grade 12 program look like? Or even those senior years? Because we hear stories of people doing some pretty amazing things, going in and out of programs, and then also really taking off in subjects as well.
Right. So, again, we have a home education program and we have a school directed program.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends on what it is that parents and families want. If parents are doing a home education program, like Jeannie said, they're implementing, they're designing, and they're setting out the opportunities for their student.
Mm-hmm.
If we're doing it and they're doing a school directed program, then we're outlining the learning pathways and the opportunities and so on. Kids, in our program, we like to focus on passion. I'm a little bit passionate from time to time on things, just in case people hadn't noticed. So we really like to focus on that because you know what? Kids often come with natural skills and abilities. And I mean, I've seen little guys who were, 8 years old and they're going to be a paleontologist. I know it. They know it. Their parents know it. So why don't we focus the educational lens on that passion. It might change and it might develop over the years and they do something different. But when kids are excited and they're passionate and they're digging into their learning, you don't have to do very much. They motivate themselves. And so we see it's our job to help facilitate that, to feed that, to make sure they're covering the Alberta Program of Studies and that they're meeting goals and they are advancing and progressing. And where they need assistance, we provide that too.
So whether they're doing the school-directed or the home education portions of your program, they have access to that beautiful space.
They do have access to that beautiful space. And actually, it's really funny. Two weeks ago when I was on the program, we've had people who heard the program and showed up for a tour. We're open Tuesday to Friday from 9 to 4. And we've had people show up out of the blue and say, hey, I heard you on the radio. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Like, is that good or bad?
Exactly. So people are welcome to pop in, but we do have some open houses coming up. So if you check our calendar on our website, you will see that Tuesday, April the 11th at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, late evening, or evening from 5 to 7, we have an open house. And then we pretty much have one every month. Mm-hmm. We don't start accepting registrations though until April 1st.
Okay.
April 1st, because, you know, it's a great day. It's April Fool's Day, you know?
Perfect. Who picked that date? Probably you.
Me, yeah.
So then what would you tell parents who are thinking about this program, but they're not sure what that would mean for their involvement or how that works for them?
Right. So if you're looking at a blended program,
yeah,
basically what ends up happening is that your teacher is a pivotal part and plays a key role in all of that. If you're considering home-based learning for the first time, it's a great place to start because Phoenix provides the base and the structure. So what happens is you would come in, we would meet with you, you would do a tour of the facility, we would talk about your options, we would get to know your little person, and then we send you out with some paperwork to go home and read. Mm-hmm. Because it's a lifestyle choice and you do need to think deeply about the commitment that you're making. When you come back, then what ends up happening is you meet with your certificated teacher. We call them learning coaches at Phoenix, and they sit down with you and your student, and they're going to start talking and learning about your student. We're going to do some diagnostic testing to see where the student is at in each grade, in each subject for each grade, and then we're going to build a custom program around your student. So if they're super strong in math, then we're going to say, great, do grade 5 math. If they're struggling a little bit in reading, then we're going to place them in a grade 3 or 4 program in language arts. But it's based on your input, your student's input, and your teacher's expertise.
And there's no stigma around that then?
Oh, absolutely not. I had to laugh because lots of times visitors come to the school and they talk to kids and they talk to parents and they walk in and say, hey, what grade are you in? And these little eyes look up and they say, in what? So yeah, it's great. And again, having a variety of ages and learners on site, mm-hmm. age is not an issue at Phoenix. So again, there are times when our own staff members take each other's courses and classes. So again, you could have a wide variety of learners in any program.
Is it nice then to also have that community that's built for whether you're doing that or the school directed or the home education?
Absolutely. Community is a huge part, and I think we've all talked about that today, mm-hmm. that as, well, first of all, we're all smarter together than by ourselves. But for sure, each one of these organizations is providing a community of learners. Mm-hmm. And that is a huge piece of what Phoenix is. People often have talked about the Phoenix Education Foundation as being their community center. Mm-hmm. So we have a breakfast program in the morning. Sometimes if people were hurried and they were a little bit rushed to get out the door, they didn't have breakfast, they sit together as a family at the school and have breakfast together. If they they might collaborate together. Kids are in various classes in the school and parents are sitting together and they're talking, they're sharing resources, they're having a coffee. There are days when people show up and they're sad. Something has happened. Something bad has happened in the family, and they need a hug and they need support. So not only do they find it from the community of learners that are there, the other parents and families, but then, of course, they find it from our staff. We actually have a staff member whose sole job is to care for our families.
Wow.
She is our care coordinator. So, yeah, it is very much a learning, loving, caring environment.
Okay, so then you did mention the open houses as well. What about the cost for the program, too?
Oh, yeah, so expensive. We're wickedly expensive. Yeah, just like Jeannie over there, we have a $25 registration fee if you're a returning student, mm-hmm. $50 if you're brand new, and $0 for tuition.
And that's because a lot of it, the parents are being really involved in there, and this space is absolutely beautiful that everyone gets to be a part of.
Right. And we supply all the resources so that if you are signing up for grade one, you'll receive a great backpack with all kinds of amazing resources, access to those classes, access to field trips. It's a complete and inclusive package that includes everything and a great learning experience.
Yeah. And again, you do have the open houses, one on April 11th, Tuesday, April 11th at 5 o'clock. And then you have some ones during the day as well. You can find all of them, phoenixfoundation.ca. Thanks very much, Diana.
It was my pleasure. It's always my pleasure.
Diana Stain, co-founder of Phoenix Education Foundation. That's phoenixfoundation.ca is the website, phoenixfoundation.ca. More about independent schools in Alberta on Talk to the Experts in just a moment. We've heard from three different schools this hour. We had Jenny Manhoeft, principal at large, Roots Home Education, roots-homeschooling.com. And Diane Switek, founder and director of Banbury Crossroads, banburycrossroads.com. And then also Diana Stin, co-founder of Phoenix Education Foundation, and their website, phoenixfoundation.ca. So why do you think it is so important for parents to have this type of choice in education? I know, big question.
Yeah, it is a big question. And I'm going to say that the reason why it's important for parents to have this kind of choice in education is because they have kids.
Yeah.
And every kid is different. And I always laugh because there are people out there who object to private schools. And obviously, we heard a fair bit about that before the budget was announced, that people were calling for defunding private schools. But it's hilarious because people feel that way until they have kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have a kid that's a bit different or a little quirky or has a special need or learns in a different style. And all of a sudden, they want choice. And so choice is provided through the independent system.
And then I know that you guys have many different ways for people to get in touch with you for finding out more about each of your programs. I do want to get some of that information. So, Jenny, how can people get more information about Roots Home Education?
You bet. Definitely on our website, roots-homeschooling.com. The phone number is 403-616-1381. And calling that number will also give you more details on our information evenings that we have at different areas, in different areas on different days. They haven't been set up yet, but they will be shortly, as well as we invite people to attend a support group. It's a good time to get to know our community.
Yeah. Diane Switek from Banbury Crossroads. And you guys do tours at almost any time during the year.
That's right. We do personal tours. So when a parent phones, we just book one for you.
Yeah. Oh, that works. And you get to see the school in action, just like also Phoenix Foundation. You also said, Diana, that many parents come by. Then you also have the open houses as well.
That's totally correct. So please check out our website. And if you are interested, you are more than welcome to pop by. Our school is located in Mayland Heights. And so you are welcome to pop by Tuesday to Friday from 9 till 4.
And then all of these schools fall under the umbrella of the Association of Independent Schools and Colleges of Alberta. So you've been listening to Diana Stin, co-founder of Phoenix Education Foundation, phoenixfoundation.ca. Thanks very much, Diana.
Our pleasure.
Diane Switek, founder and director of Banbury Crossroads, banburycrossroads.com. Thank you very much, Diane.
You're welcome.
And then Jenny Manhoeft, principal at large, Roots Home Education, roots-homeschooling.com. Thanks very much, Jenny.
And thank you.
And you've been listening to Talk to the Experts on News Talk 770.